Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carrie Alter with Spiritual Integration Radio. I'm so happy you're joining us here today, broadcasting in Marin County, California, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco. This is February 2nd. So thanks for tuning in. This radio show is about today, inner transitions. And in this show, what I really want to be doing is I want to be talking about what do you do when your life is in transition, because right now, at this time, so many of us are in transition. So many of us are feeling things on the inside, turning and stirring, and we don't really know what it's all about, and there's no way to find out what it's all about. So this show is going to be about what do you do when you have things like that going on, and what if you do see things that it's about? What if you're questioning all different parts of your life? Please dial in on the chat room if you have questions. Call in on the guest number, which is 347-324-3264. And if you haven't done that before, if you have a question, if you press the number 1 on your base phone or on your handset, it will raise a little hand on my screen here, and I'll know you have a question, and I can call on you. After I answer it, please press that 1 again, and that will put your hand down so that if you get another question, you can raise it again. And I hope you will ask questions because it helps the channeling to come through. So in myself and in my clients and in my family and in my friends, everywhere I look, I see people with these stirrings on the inside. The way one of my very dear friends put it, she said, "Something inside me wants to be birthed, and I don't know what it is." And she quit her job so that she could stop and take time and just take a break and sit and be with what is this that's coming up inside her. And as we have talked about in other of the radio shows, it's like that important time to stop and just be with yourself to see what is it that goes on inside of me. Because otherwise you get up and you eat breakfast and you go and the phone rings and you're off to work or to run your errands or to check your email or whatever it is that comes up. Like, we don't take time to stop and just check in and see what's going on inside of us, and then we wonder why we don't know. Well, we are strangers to ourselves. We don't spend time with ourselves. I remember, I can't credit who it was, but somebody who once said, if your best friend treated you the way you treated you, would you be your best friend? We want to stop and be our best friend. Be our best friend. So this means stopping right now and taking stock of how is it to be you in this moment. Did you remember before I asked, do you have a body? Can you feel your whole body? Can you feel the back of your body? Just allowing, as you sit here, just allowing the energy to run down the back of your body. Just feeling the skin on the back of your body, feeling your clothing touching your body. So that you can feel your skin, feeling all the way down to your feet, noticing how you can tell without looking down whether you have socks on or not, or shoes on or not. Just staying in the body for this moment, for this program at least, and all day long. This is a little check-in that you can do. Do I have a body? Just asking yourself, where's my body? That's the first step. And then we drop down inside. We go, well, what's the state of tension like in my body? Where is it tight and where is it relaxed? So just checking in right now and noticing where is it tight, where is it relaxed? And breathing. Breathing all the way down into your body. So maybe you've heard if you put your hand on your belly, when you breathe, that hand should rise and fall. The hand should move. So we want the breath to go all the way down into the belly. And a lot of what goes on in the body is simply because the breath isn't going all the way in. And the other thing is because the rib cage tends to sit on your waist. So we want the rib cage raised off our waist, and then the air can come in better. It expands our lung capacity. Because the oxygen feeds us in so many ways. It not only gets the whole blood going, it gets the nutrients out of the blood and into the cells, you know, but it just contributes to our whole general feeling of aliveness. So right now, breathing deeply into your whole body, and notice how it feels differently to be you when you're breathing deeply. So can you feel the difference from before we started? Just noticing. Just noticing. And now taking time to stop and look at your life. So identify what areas of your life feel disrupted. What areas feel uncomfortable? Are you in a relationship? If you're in one, how does it feel? Does it feel bumpy? Feel rocky? Feeling how it feels? Or what about your career? Do you have a career? Do you like the career you have? Does it feel like it's the right career? Have you been finding yourself questioning that, just noticing? Noticing. Those are really two big areas, but there are so many intangible kind of areas in our lives that we don't even have words to identify. So just feeling into how you do life in general. How do you like the feeling of how it is to be you while you're doing life? So here's what I've noticed began in 2009 and is the flavor of 2010. It's time for us to face our issues. So whatever issues have been the biggest in our lives that we haven't resolved yet, those issues are going to be coming up now in whatever form is appropriate for each of us. So for everybody, it's going to be different. What have been your big issues? And are they up right now? So pick whatever issues are biggest for you right now, and as I speak, you can work with those issues. So allowing yourself to feel into the energy of whatever your biggest issue is. Just breathing into it. Allowing yourself to feel into it, feeling how familiar that issue feels. Where in your body do you store the tension around it? Just noticing, if that place had a home in your body, where would the home for that body, for that issue be? And allowing the breath to go into that area of the body, breathing oxygen into that area of the body. And now settling in, settling in. Just allowing that issue to be there. It's like, what if you stopped fighting that issue? Just allowing it to be there. We spend so much time trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. How can I change this issue? How can I make it better? How can I fix it? What if we just allowed it to be there? What if we trusted that the universe is not only a divine place, but that every single moment in the universe is absolutely coordinated by each of us, by our personal guidance, to be bringing us exactly what we need to be receiving in that moment in order to bring about the desired soul movement in that moment. This is what I've seen is how life is run. In every single moment, whatever is happening, whatever events are happening in your life, whoever is in your life or not in your life, is specifically designed in order to bring up whatever comes up inside of you in response. So the place where you want to be putting your energies that will serve you the best is in allowing yourself to feel and know whatever it is that comes up inside of you. Instead, the mind always wants to say, well, how can I fix it? How can I make it better? And that's the job of the mind. That's what the mind does. The mind figures things out. But it really just slows down the whole process. There's a surrender that needs to take place to really allow us to move through whatever our issue is. And I'm going to tell you an interesting story that happened to me yesterday. It's sort of a personal story, and here I am talking on the radio, but it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I have an investment in another up in Canada, and somebody is trying to steal my money, basically. And it felt like there was nothing I could do. No matter what I do, there's nothing I can do. And so I was starting to really contract about it, around it. And I was starting to be a person that I didn't like who I was. I was feeling angry. I wanted to say not nice things to those people. I was thinking not nice things. I didn't like who I was being. And I started telling my daughter about it. And she said, thank you, God, back to me, and the things that I have often said to her. She said, Mom, you've got to raise your energy level around this. And this is exactly what I have so often said to my clients and to my daughter. And that's why you want to always share what's going on with you so that your friends and family can say it back to you when you really need it. She said, Mom, you've got to raise your energy around it. And I knew that she was absolutely right, immediately started raising my energy. And before I even got off the phone with her, the call waiting clicked in, and already on the other line was another investment that I didn't expect to hear from for 10 years, which looks like it's coming to fruition. And the energy shifted so fast. And then I came in the house to tell my partner what had just happened, and then the phone rings again. And this time it's somebody telling me that I might be able to be in a movie that's coming up. So all this in the energy that shifts. So in our bleakest moments, what happens? So in my bleakest moments, I know well enough that I'm supposed to be keeping my energy up. But when I'm really feeling down, it doesn't feel like that's going to work. It starts to feel like it's all, you know, not really true, that won't work, and why did I ever think it would work? It's like the mind takes over. The part of the mind that's not our friend takes over. And so when I raised my energy, magic happened. It was just magic. Both of those things were so unexpected. So if I was using my mind would have been trying to figure out how could I, you know, correct that situation? Should I be talking to lawyers? You know, whatever. And instead, wonderful things start coming to me from a completely different direction. We want to trust that the universe is flowing toward us in every moment. So what was that designed for? It was designed to remind me once again that when I keep my frequency up, magic happens. Then my life unfolds in the way that I want it to unfold. So why do we try to control every single aspect of our life? Because we think we need to be controlling it or it won't unfold in the way that we want it to be unfolding. But it's actually quite the opposite. So when we try to control what's happening in our lives, we contract around whatever it is that's happening, and we actually hold it to us. Energy is sticky, so we contract around it, and it's like stuck to us like peanut butter, you know? You have to shake off the peanut butter. And it's the surrender process that allows the magic to take place, allows the next step to open to us. So the thing that's a little bit, on the one hand, it's so simple. All we have to do is surrender. But on the other hand, it's complicated because at the same time that we're surrendering, we want to be chopping the wood and carrying the water. Otherwise, we're not going to have a fire. So what does that look like? So we still want to be doing whatever it is we need to do. So I still need to be having conversation with these people in Canada. I still need to be saying, this is not fair what you're doing. But I want to make sure that I stay out of that angry place, catch more flies with honey, as they say. Because the angry place just makes the whole energy of it be more and more congested. And it pulls the whole thing down. So I want to be lifting the whole thing up. And when I say they, I mean my guides, showed me so deeply that I don't even have language to describe how deeply they showed to me that every single thought that goes through our mind is a creative thought. So it's like when you have a thought, you think that you just had a thought that went through your mind. But really what happens is that a creative process has been set in motion. Everything we say, so we share with our friends about what just happened or whatever, and we set a creative process in motion. And certainly every action that we do sets a creative process in motion. So what I've seen is that it's so minutely choreographed. We think we're agents of free will, and yet we are an intricate part of the weaving, this 3D weaving of reality. So if you were to look at a tapestry, you can see the threads going in both directions. And you can see how every thread touches another thread that touches another thread that touches another thread until you get to the edge of the tapestry. You can see if it's a tapestry, say it's a tapestry with flowers on it. You could see how there's separate flowers and they have leaves and then there's the space between the flowers. And yet from your vantage point of being a human being, you can see that the flowers are, and the leaves and the empty space are all part of the same tapestry. So see if you can imagine that that tapestry were 3D and say it was a big box and inside it were also more flowers and more leaves and more empty space and it was a 3D tapestry with the threads going in both directions, every thread touching another thread. They're all connected and all part of the same 3D tapestry. That is what our life is like. So if I move my little toe, that touches the empty space in the middle of my 3D tapestry. And somehow, in some way that my brain can't possibly imagine, that touches every other human being on the planet because I moved my little toe. Now, the brain just doesn't even know how to grasp that. It can't imagine it. But you can imagine that if you say something in a harsh way, that the person that you said it to is going to snap back at you, or else they're going to walk away and they're going to snap at the next person that they meet. So the words, the thoughts, the physical movements, they all work in the same way. And anybody speaking to us, for instance, in a snappy kind of a tone like that, that feels hurtful or insulting or, you know, rude or whatever, in some way that our ego takes offense at, all specifically divinely placed there for our benefit so that we can have what rises up inside us rise up. So, again, one example of how it's all simpler than we think it is that there's the same, no matter what it is that you have going on in your life, no matter what your issue is, it's always the same answer. The answer is to be the observer of self, as we've talked on all the radio shows about being the observer of self. And then seeing what is coming up inside of me. So the place where you want to be putting your energy is not in how can I change what's going on the outside of me. How can I change that other person's behavior? It's how can I make peace with what's going on inside of me? How can I trust even more to allow divinity to do its job so that I'm not the obstacle that's in the way of my life unfolding in the way that I keep trying to get it to unfold by contracting and trying to control it? So it's kind of counterintuitive because, you know, we're taught, oh, you need a 5-year plan and you need to figure out what you want to do. You need to have goals and you need to have actions. And on the one hand, that may be true at some level. But if you ever think that that is what is making your life unfold, then you're putting your trust in the wrong direction, as I've been guided in my guidance. So, for instance, I may make a goal, but the goal is what I'm doing while I'm here in a human body playing the game called life. My education, it's what I'm doing while I'm here in a human body playing the game called life. My career, my relationship, same thing. This is like moving my around the board. I think maybe I talked in a similar way about this last radio show, because this is really how life is run. These are the things that you're doing while life unfolds. Everything in its own divine timing. And the divine timing is controlled specifically by the amount of inner surrender that you have and by the amount of observance where you're able to be the observer of yourself. The more closely you're able to bring yourself back to presence, the more you're able to come present again and again with your own self, the more your guides will help you, the more they will move you ahead on your own journey. So you may or you may not be aware of their presence, but everyone has guides who are constantly with them in every moment. And in fact, we have a guide who's, and this is as how I've received my guidance, saying that there is one guide who's with us through every lifetime that we've ever had. And then there are special project guides who come in for specific things, like you may be in one relationship that's a particularly challenging relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship or a career relationship or whatever. And there may be one guide who is very skilled in that particular area of challenge, who's there kind of whispering in your ear kind of thing. Not, maybe not your literal ear, but sometimes your literal ear. And there, so, you know, ask and you shall receive. If you want guidance, ask for guidance. And that guidance will come to you, maybe not in a way that you might overtly recognize, but it will come. So guidance may come in terms of something somebody else says to you. So guides often use people that you're talking to as their instruments, where they'll simply place words in that person's mouth. Or you could turn on the radio and hear something, or open a book falls open to a certain page. Is often a way that we see guidance. So when you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. So sometimes people don't know, how do I talk to my guides? Well, you just talk to them the way you would talk to anybody, the way you would talk to your best friend, because believe me, they are your best friends. They really are your best friends. They are in your corner all the time. Most people don't have any idea how guided they are and how much support is there for them if they should choose to open themselves up to that relationship. So how do you open yourself up to your guide's relationship? You simply start talking to them. And when I first started talking to my guides, basically what I did was I said, help! Because at that time I didn't believe in guides. I didn't even know if I believed in God. I didn't know if I believed in anything. All I knew was I was in big trouble. And I just sort of inside had this yelling, help! That was going on. And my guides heard me, you know. And that's when I began to have my spiritual opening. It was when I began the conversation. Somebody has to begin the conversation. It's like people say, well, I'll talk to my guides when I see evidence that they exist. Well, it's like, you know, it's like if two people are mad at each other and they're both waiting for the other person to start talking first. We just end up always being mad at each other. Nobody wants to go first. The guide will only answer. You have to be the one that goes first. That's just is how it is. And so you just start having conversations. And the answers may come through your own head. Some of my friends get the answers in writing. They sit down with a pad and they think that they're journaling, and then all of a sudden they notice that some really smart things are coming through in what they're writing. And that's basically how you start to know that you've reached your guidance, is that these really smart things start to come through. It's like, whoa, that's really helpful information. That really helps know what to do next. So if anybody has any questions, and even about, you know, specific things going on in your life, I'd be happy to take those calls. Feel free to call. The guest call-in number is 347-324-3264. And if you have a question, you can call in without a question, and then if you have a question come up, you press 1 on your phone, and it'll show me a little raised hand here. And then after I answer your question, if you could press 1 again, and the little hand will go away. And then I can move on. So right now, just sitting with your own self, with whatever issue you're sitting with in this moment, sitting and practice talking to your guidance right now. So you just kind of chat with them like you would with a friend. You say, look, this is what's been happening. This is going on and that's going on. And I'm trying to raise my frequency. And I keep getting pulled down. You know, it's like, help. And then you just leave it be open-ended. So when we go looking for answers, even if you feel an answer come, there could be another answer coming later. So we want to just leave everything open-ended so that another answer can come. We have a tendency to close the book. We say, okay, I got that answer, that's it. We shut the book. And then we can miss out on the deepest answers that haven't come to us yet. So first they want to see that you can, the guides want to see that you can integrate the first piece of answer that they gave you. They want to see that you heard it and that you can live your life according to it. And then if you keep asking the question because you want to take it to a deeper level, they'll give you more answers. So just keep asking anything that's still open for you. If you haven't gotten an issue to the level that you want it at, you just keep saying, help. Just keep explaining to them how you feel. And in order to do that, the secret is, of course, to be the observer of self. So in being the observer of self, you need to come present again and again and again. So now check your body. We checked in with our body at the beginning of the phone call. Notice, are you still in your body? Are you still feeling your body? Letting your energy run down the back of your body. Feeling the back. Feeling all the way down the back of your body. And letting yourself be a conduit. You know, like an earthworm, I was amazed to find this out, that earthworms are like tubes. So it's sort of like taking a straw and pushing it down into the earth. And so they just sort of open their, they're just open at both ends. They open their mouths, and that's how they make their way through the dirt. And that's how they can move through. So if you just kind of open, imagine opening the top of your head and imagine opening the bottoms of your feet and just allowing divinity to come down from the heavens, to come down and through the down to the bottoms of your feet and all the way down into the earth, and then allowing the earth energy to rise up, notice how this feels in your body. Allow divinity to come down through your body, coming down through your body, sort of a little bit of a vibration, sort of a little, feels like a white light to me, coming down through the heavens, through the body into the earth, let it pass right through you into the earth, and opening the bottoms of your feet. And allowing the vibration of the earth that feels a little different, coming up through your feet and connecting you up with the heavens. And now just feeling in how your body feels different when you do that. Allow yourself to feel what it feels like to be you. Allowing that to settle in. And let that be a default setting. And I think I see a question here. Do you have a question? Okay, this caller, go ahead, 415.
Hi, I'm visiting from out of town, out of New Mexico, and I used to live here in California, and I'm visiting old friends, and it just seems to me that I have so many friends that are in very unfortunate situations and with repercussions from drugs or loss of money or family situations, and I see myself being pulled down by these people, and they're dear friends. They're friends that I've loved and I've known all my life, but I find myself not wanting to hang out with them because here I am visiting, and I want to have a joyful time, but instead I'm just being pulled down by their very sad energy, and I don't know what to do about that. I think, well, maybe I don't want to visit those people anymore, but that in turn breaks my heart because they are an extension of me. So I'm wondering, you know, what I should do. I feel like if I offer suggestions, I'm showing hubris, or, you know, I know more than they do about life, and I'm trying to turn them around, and they're not ready to do that. And not that I have the right ideas. I don't know what they should be do, but I, what they should be doing, but I know how it affects me. And perhaps you can suggest some way that I could handle that and still maintain their friendship and perhaps give something to them that they need.
So the thing that's really interesting here is that, you know, the mind always thinks that it knows what we should do, even though you're saying that you don't know what to do. But if the mind might naturally think that something that you say could help these people. But the greatest gift we can give anybody is to allow them their suffering. It's so crazy sounding. But each of us came here in order to work through whatever we came here to work through. And it's different for each person. So there's a lot of things at play. It's a very good question. Thank you. And there's a lot of things at play here. So on the one hand, you want to allow them to have the experience that they're having, because the experience that they're having is what they need to have in order to move, to open their soul along their own soul path. So if you could save them from their suffering, but they wouldn't get to expand their soul, would you want that for them? You know, not really, right? So when you look at it in those terms, what you can offer them is simply to be their witness. So you're the witness with compassion. So the other thing that really is going on at the same time is that for your own personal unfoldment, it's so important that you surround yourself with people who are living the life, their life, the way you want to be living your life. Otherwise, you live according to the lowest common denominator, because it's true that the energy does indeed affect everything, will affect everything. So you do get your own energy pulled down and create greater challenges for yourself in having to constantly be pulling your own energy up again. And then you get to know, oh, my challenge is about how do I keep my energy up. So you can always tell what your challenge in what you came here to work with is by looking at what you're working here with. So if you find yourself constantly having to be pulling up your energy because you're surrounding yourself with people whose energy pull you down, then you say, oh, I came here to find a way to keep my energy up. And the first rule of thumb is birds of a feather flock together, you know. If you become, everybody shares the energy. It becomes a group energy, so you all become together, and they will, as you've seen, drag you down. So when you're there, if you're really present with your own self and you just be the witness and stop trying to fix them and just let them have their suffering, then you give them space to be who they are, and then you get to really decide whether you want to be there with them or not. You don't have to stop loving them, and you don't have to spend as much time with them. And then you make more room for people who have an energy that matches the energy how you want your life to be. So to say, I want my life to work better, which means I have to keep my energy in a way that it will attract it to work better, but to surround yourself with people whose energy is going to pull you down, what that really shows you is that there's a resistance to your life working better. But I can blame it on these other people. I'm not to say that you blame them, but you see what I mean. It's like, if I was really ready for my life to work better, I wouldn't be surrounding myself with people whose energy pull me down. And one thing that I've noticed is that when I don't allow, when I have a friend whose energy is often down, and when I don't really have a space for her to go on and on and on about how down it is, then she just shares other things with me instead. So we, you know, we have a an acknowledgement that yes, these things are happening in her life, and now let's talk about other things. And you know, I have had that challenge myself. I want to always try to, you know, it's like this part in your heart just wants everybody to be having this happy life. But again, we're going to remember, like we talked about in the last phone call, we didn't come here to have, you know, a life where everything is easy and perfect and just rolls along and everybody's happy. And no, that's where we came from. We came here to work through these different situations that expand our soul. So we came here to have an expansive situation. Can I keep connected with my divine self, which is an up kind of a place, the divine self? So if we're feeling down, we're not connected with our divine self. Can I feel connected with my divine self even in the face of what's going on around me? And when you're really ready to do that, you will find yourself being less drawn to be with people whose energy pulls you down. So the fact that you're drawn, I mean, we love so many people, and there's never, well, depending on who you are, but for many of us, there's not enough time to be with all the people who we can love. And it's like the ones that we choose show us where we're at in our own personal process. So we choose who we're going to be with because we already know in advance what our experience is going to be like when we're with that person. And that's why we choose to be with them. And then there's always this other question, do we like who we are when we're with that person? So again, we want to be our best friend. And we want to like who we are. So if we're with somebody, if that's what we do for ourselves, if we put ourselves in a situation where we get pulled down all the time, are we being our best friend? So see, it has a lot of complicated other little aspects to that little diamond.
Is there, well, I have this one friend who doesn't really have any tools to pull herself out of her deep, dark depression, and she's on prescription medication and all kinds of things, and I feel like I want to do something. I know that you said it's her path, it's her suffering, but you know, I just feel like I would like to offer something, and I don't, and instead of just turning away from it, which I would rather do, you know, it feels better not to even see her or be around her, but because she is almost a sister.
Yeah. Well, you could give her this Blog Talk Radio show link.
But that's the thing. She won't go there. She won't go to a place where she will learn
save her.
Or look at herself.
You can't save her from herself. She has to be the one who does it. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, you know, kind of thing. Mm. She has to be the one to do it. So you can spell it out. You can email it to her so she can't say, I lost it. She'll have it right there in her email. She can go to YouTube and see Eckhart Tolle and, you know, people like that who are very inspiring. You know, you can give her those links, and then it's up to her. There's nothing you can do. So if she won't do it for herself, you trying to help her, you both drown instead. So that doesn't, you know how they say put on your own mask first before you try to save this other person, like in the airplane, put on your own mask first. Your energies need to go to putting your mask on. So you tell her where her mask is, you show it to her, you can hand it to her. She's got to be the one to place it on her own face. Otherwise, she'll just drag you down with it. You can want for her as much as you want to want for her, but you can't get her to do it. You just can't. And that's And that, you know, that's part of the trusting in divinity, to trust that each person that's here is having the experience that they're absolutely supposed to have. Micromanaged to the extent to where, you know, if the avocado you cut open is brown instead of green. That's how micromanaged our lives are for us to have the experiences that we have in the face of every moment. And I know that that's hard to get, but that's the guidance that I received, that that's how micromanaged it is. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, and I see another caller. Let's see here. Area code. Let me, where do I click here? Area code 301. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, this is Melissa.
Melissa, hi.
Hi. I had a question for you. You were talking about guides and awareness and listening. Sometimes I get the sensation, it's, you know, just sitting, you know, doing nothing in particular, I'll feel a pressure on my temples, you know, exactly as if someone is just putting fingers and pressing gently on my temples, and I don't know if that's just some sort of, I also will get ringing in my ears sometimes, and I don't know if those are just random, just little physiological quirks, or if that is some sort of guidance that I should be paying attention to. I wondered if you have any suggestions on how to tell the difference between a signal that is coming as sort of like a, hey, pay attention, there's something going on here, we're trying to get your attention, as opposed to just random, quirky little physical things.
You know, what happened for me when I started having things and didn't know was I found that I just had to spend time with them and get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get sort of waves of energy that come into my head, and at first I didn't know what it was, and then I would sit and I go, well, let me try sitting down and just being present with it, and it would pull me into a meditation very strongly.
Okay.
I get pulled into a meditation, I go, yep, they were trying to tell me something, there was a meditation wanting to happen.
Okay.
And you know, and actually, I had not been able to meditate independently in the beginning, on my own, of my own volition, and that's how it started coming to me, was that I would get, you know, different sensations in my head, and gradually I recognized, oh, I'm supposed to be meditating.
Hmm.
And so then I would sit down, and then the meditation would already be starting up. It's like that was telling me it was already starting up. Does that mean that that's true every time? Not necessarily. It could be the start of a headache.
Yeah.
You just have to sit with it and, mm-hmm. and, you know, get to know it. So the temples, and what was the other thing that you said?
Ringing in the ears.
Oh, the ringing in the ears. Yeah, so, you know, ringing in the ears can be so many different things. It's hard to tell. Because, let's see, and I just heard something really interesting. I heard that if it's constant, then it's nerve damage. I heard this from Sherry Edwards. If it's constant, it's nerve damage, but if it fluctuates, like sometimes it's more than other times, then there's something else going on. And she does something, let me see if I can remember, her website is nanovoice.com. And I'm going to have her on as a guest at some point. And she says that there's a tone, often a tone missing from your voice that will produce ringing in the ears. And often it's the tone E, and of which there are different frequencies. But she suggested that you could, if you play a musical instrument, you could play the tone E. And, yeah, of course.
No, it's just occasional, and it's just for a minute or so.
Yeah.
It's not like a constant thing, but.
Right. Yeah, so if it started, for anybody who's listening who might have that, you could try playing the Tony, and you can go to Sherry's website and see, you know, because of course she deals with it in much greater depth. That was
and it was Nano Voice?
Nanovoice.com. Very mm-hmm. fascinating website. And I think also Nutrasounds.com, I think, if I have that right. And, yeah, but as, you know, okay, so now let me approach it now from another avenue, which is that anything that attracts your attention, see what's coming up on the inside. That's the first place to go all the time. What's coming up on the inside? So, whatever is going up on the coming up on the inside, oh, that must be why it's happening. So if what's coming up on the inside is a lot of question, you go, oh, my life is about a lot of questioning right now. So let me just sit and be present with the fact that I get a lot of questioning. You see what I mean? Yeah, so it's like, again, in some ways, I mean, it's so complex because it could be this, it could be that. But on the other hand, it's simple because whatever comes up, it's like, okay, whatever comes up is what's supposed to be coming up. Let me see, what is that? So let me sit with that. And then you just sit. And if you go into a meditation, so anytime you have a question, if you ask that question and you sit and you go into a meditation, even if you don't know how to meditate, and I know that you do, but even for somebody who doesn't, if you just sit and be quiet and you just see what happens, because at first you won't know, is that my voice, is that guidance's voice, but you just see what comes up and just be as quiet as you can, and you hear voices on the inside and thoughts, and you just sit and see what comes, and it will open to you. If you are patient, it will open to you. It's really quite cool how that unfolds.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Tune in. Good to talk to you again. Okay. Oh, let's see. Now press the 1, and your hand will go down. So in case you get another question, you can press the 1 again, and it'll go up again.
Okay, I just hit it to go down.
It takes a little while to. I'm still learning how to work this switchboard here, so we'll just give it some little time.
Are you still hearing me? Because I did press 1.
I'm still hearing. Oh, here, let me try this. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Now if you press 1, it should go down. There. Thank you. Thank you for your patience, everybody, as I learn how to use this switchboard. Yeah, so everybody tune into your body now and just notice, do you still have a body? Does the body feel any different from how it did in the beginning? So as I tune into the collective body for all the people who are listening, people feel more present than they did in the beginning, and it feels like we can still be even more present. So feeling the back of your body and letting yourself be the earthworm again. I love that image. The earthworm. So just feeling divinity connecting to the earth through your body, connecting down. From the heavens down to the earth through your personal body. By the way, the earth loves when we do this. It's like a little treat. It's like you're giving dessert to the earth. Not that the earth doesn't have her own connection, but it's like I've been told that this is like dessert for the earth. And now allowing the bottoms of your feet to open. And letting the earth energy rise up through your feet and connecting with the heavens. divine energy coming down, because it felt like the earth energy came up stronger that time. So let's have them balance, so have the divine energy come down again. And connecting through you to the earth. And, of course, you can do this anytime at home. That feels more balanced. There we go. And you can do this anytime, and please do this anytime. And anything that you hear on this radio show that clicks for you, please share it with your friends, because we need people to be learning these kinds of skills, how to do this on your own when situations come up, and how to ground into the earth and connect in with the earth and feed the earth like that. Just allowing yourself to be connected, feeling how it feels, and tell your body to let this be your default setting, if you like how it feels, assuming you like how it feels. Yeah. Just kind of send your body a message, let this be the default setting. And I want to thank you all for tuning in again. And next week, I think we're going to have a surprise guest I'm waiting to hear. And as soon as I hear, I'll put it on the show page where you can go and look and see who's going to be here next week. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a guest. So it'll be a very different format from what we have today. But that guest will also address how do you stay tuned in inside. How do you stay divinely connected when things come up? They'll be addressing it through their own angle of their own work. And so I look forward to that. And if you like what you hear, please give your friends this blog radio show link and let them tune in. You can listen to the archives 24/7. And they're at the bottom of the page. And you can also go to my website, which is spiritualintegration.com, and check out my other work. I do private sessions. And if you're local in Marin County, I have a Thursday night class that I do. And I'm working on a teleseminar series of semi-private sessions where I'd only have like a half a dozen people sign up so that people could get private attention. And as I work on that, I'll be telling you more about it. Still trying to figure out how that's going to work out. But thank you so much for joining me. And the music that you hear at the beginning of this show and at the end of the show is from my very dear friend and very talented artist, Carol Isis. An early album of hers, her first album, called You Are the Diamond. And hopefully there's a link at the bottom of my page on it. There's a link there. So thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that you will join us again next week. Meantime, take care.
Your dream should never part. That's where the magic comes from. Keep them deep in the heart of your heart. They'll always be there, ready to come. Our love, just a love, a love, really. And after all, that's